Welcome to the Demons in My Mind podcast, where we take an unfiltered view of the issues in life. My name is Joseph Lopez, and I'm a mental health and spirituality coach. If you don't happen to know my story, I went through high school with crippling OCD. And this wasn't me having to arrange my pillows and having to have everything in a perfect order. This was the most intrusive, invasive, crippling thoughts being plagued and pushed into my mind. It got so bad to where I lost nearly all my friends and it nearly took my life. I was alone. I was oppressed. I didn't know what to do. The anxiety was overwhelming. I like to say all the time, if anxiety were an ocean, I was hundreds of miles down at the bottom with a cinder block tied around my neck. So that's why I've made this podcast. That's why I've done Things and Talk Real. There's some answers and some truth that I've picked up along the way in my darkest times in life. And now on the other side of mental illness, I'm excited to share that with the world, as well as other answers I'm learning on my journey today. Today we're going to be talking about death, death in every form. We're going to be talking about physical death, emotional death, and even spiritual death. Now, I don't know where you might be on the spiritual spectrum, whether you're completely atheistic towards anything other than what's this physical reality, or if you're on a far end of the spectrum where you identify with a particular religion and you're a practicing, faith-filled person. Wherever you might find yourself on the spiritual spectrum, these principles should apply to you. So let's go ahead and get started diving into what is death and what's the antidote to death. So first off, what is death? Death is kind of a broad, abstract concept. And if you're like most people, when you think of death, you imagine somebody at the end of their physical life being buried in a coffin with a gravestone. That is certainly one form of death. But I don't know if you know this, death permeates throughout every form of human existence. Death dominates our emotional life. Death dominates our relationships. Death even dominates the physical world around us in many different forms. It's what science calls entropy. Our world is constantly going towards more and more chaos. This universe, or multiverse potentially, is running down. Our universe is going into a greater and greater state of chaos, and everything is winding down. That's why there's global warming. That's why there's so many things going on in this universe that humanity is working to reverse, because death permeates every realm of existence. Now, I mentioned before that death can be in your emotional life, in your relational life, or other aspects of your life, and we're going to dive into what that looks like in your life. You see, death doesn't have to just be an event at the end of your physical existence here on this earth. Death is a part of all of our lives, and we need to have an intelligent discussion of what that is. A lot of our mental health issues stems from the death of the universe infecting our lives. You see, death in our mental health can manifest in many different forms. Usually it first manifests as anxiety, and then it progresses into more and more depression. I like to think of depression as almost the total mental death of a person. I'm not talking about brain dead, where their brain can't function. I'm talking about a deeper, more solemn way of death besides just the end use of your brain. What I'm talking about is walking through life with absolute numbness and indifference to the point where living on this earth doesn't seem even attractive. It doesn't seem something that you want to do. And you question even the value of staying on this earth. This is mental death, and it's a very serious issue because humans were designed to enjoy life to the full. They were meant to enjoy the people around them. They were meant to walk in emotional health to where they actually enjoy their day-to-day and they can experience their emotions healthily. But when someone is affected by death so much to where their emotions are practically dead and numb, that's a check engine light that death has infected your mind so much. And this is why so many people commit suicide in the midst of depression. I remember hearing a quote once on social media that depression is just pending suicide. That's a sobering quote, but in many cases, it's very true. Because as we walk more and more towards mental death or emotional death, eventually we convince ourselves that the only logical option is physical death. When we embrace suicide, we allow that death force to overtake every aspect of your existence to where you terminate your physical life and embrace the physical death. I also mentioned before that death can manifest itself in your relationships. All that chaos and dysfunction within your family, maybe between you and a life partner, or maybe a close friend, that chaos is relational death. You see, another word for relational death is pride. When we allow pride to overtake ourselves and manifest in our relationships, we put our own interests before others to the point where it can actually harm the other party in the relationship. We've all been in that space where we've been blown off by someone, where we have been hurt by someone, or when someone gets overtaken in anger and they lash out at us. That's an expression of pride, and that's relational death. You see, humans are designed to live in relationship, to have an ecosystem of coexistence. You see, humans, much like animals in packs, we were designed to be in groups. We were designed to thrive with one another in a family setting and in a pack-like setting. No one is designed to be alone or isolated. And in fact, being isolated is one of the most dangerous places to be as a human. The reason why is because once you become isolated, you become prone to predators. You become prone to embracing more of that death. And common symptoms include confusion, disorientation, and just more and more depression. We were designed to be in relationship. We were designed to be in community. But that community can be chaotic if we allow pride to overrun ourselves. You see, a community of people, a group, a brotherhood, a sisterhood, a family can only thrive with mutual submission, with humility. What I mean by that is when we allow ourselves to serve one another, putting others' needs before ourselves in self-sacrificial love, only then can a community and a family prosper the way it was designed to be. It's supposed to be a continual service of one another where I put your needs before mine and you put my needs before yours. And it's just a lovely trickling effect of harmony. But the moment we embrace pride, that a relational death creeps in and it creates chaos, disarray, and it causes implosion from the inside out. That's why there's so many divorces. That's why there's so many relational dysfunctions. That's why it's hard to stay in community. That's why it's hard to maintain loyalty. Because the weightiest, the most genuine, the most blessed community you can imagine comes with a pretty hefty price. And that hefty price is self-sacrifice. But if we embrace the relational death, it'll implode that community. And it will cause that to go into disarray. And like I mentioned before, death has infected every form of this universe. That's why there's disharmony between animals. That's why there's disharmony in the weather. That's why there's incongruence. That's why there's tornadoes, hurricanes, all this stuff. This world is dying. But now that we've talked a lot about death and its many different forms and how it can manifest in your life, in your relationships, and even the world around you, there has to be hope. There has to be a way to push back this death. There has to be an antidote to this infection that is plaguing our universe. What can we do to stop it? What can we do to end it? What can we do to walk in life, harmony, peace, and health? Well, it's quite simple. The way that I like to imagine it or picture it is death is a parasite. You see, inside of you and inside of me, there's this parasite eating away at your life. And the more we give to this parasite, the more hungry it gets. And the more we feed this parasite, the more it feeds on our life. Until eventually it can eat away our emotional life. And then eventually it can take our physical life through suicide. And it's especially tragic. This parasite won't leave your body until you die. Completely. This parasite won't leave my life until I completely die. This world, it will not be rid of death until that death parasite is completely satisfied. So it's either you die or it stays. The only solution is for you to die. That's it. And there's no way around it. There's no medication. There's no technique. There's no incantations or anything that could get rid of this parasite in your life. The only way that it can be satisfied is through death. And that's why self-sacrifice is so important. Now, I don't know what your belief system may be or what spiritual inclinations you might have, but I happen to identify as a mystic Christian. What that means is I cling to the teachings of Christianity, but I invite spirituality through the Holy Spirit in my daily life to engage with God. So my Christianity isn't a bunch of rules. It's not a bunch of conformity to an organized tradition. My Christianity is dynamically following God's leading each day as He guides my life. You see, a lot of people ask, well, why did Jesus have to die? That's kind of messed up. What kind of awful, sick God would offer up His Son to die? I mean, God can do anything, right? Why does God have to kill His Son? I mean, there has to be another way. There has to be another reason. There has to be a reason why God did that, or He's just a psychopath, quite honestly. And many of you have sided with this opinion that God, at least the Christian God, is a psychopath and you want nothing to do with Him. Because anyone who would go to the extent of brutally murdering His Son is messed up. Well, according to Christian tradition, Jesus and God are one. They're the same being. But the relationship that they have, it's described as a father and son relationship. You see, God is a three persons in one, and it's called the Trinity. It's kind of confusing, but basically there's three expressions of God, but it's all one God. There's God in spiritual form, that's the Holy Spirit. There's God in physical form that came as a human being in humanity's history, and that's Jesus. And then there's God the Father. There's the head supreme being of all the universe, but they're all one. So when Jesus came and died, first thing is, God Himself died in our place. Now again, that doesn't make sense until we bring into the death parasite phenomenon, the death paradox of our reality. You see, that death parasite in our life, I said before, can only be satisfied with a death. There's nothing that could make it go away unless you physically die. That's the price that it has to pay. God didn't put that there. We invited that parasite into our lives when we shoved God out of our life. And the only way that parasite will leave is through a death. So what Jesus came to do when He came on this earth to die a sacrificial death is He died so you don't have to. He died so that parasite could be satisfied and leave your life once and for all. And then what the Bible talks about is Jesus came to give resurrection life. So just like Jesus rose from the dead after a few days, He wants to raise everything back to life in your life. So if your emotions are dead and you're deep and dark in depression, Jesus's power through satisfying that parasite will, one, take that parasite away, but two, instill that life and raise that back to life so you can feel again, so you can smile again and really mean it, so you can actually laugh and enjoy this day to day because that parasite's gone. Or maybe your relationships are a little bit in disarray and in chaos. You know, you can't walk in self-sacrifice until you're fully satisfied. You can't sacrifice and give out of emptiness. And that's why so many of us walk in pride. It's not because we're naturally awful people. We walk in pride and we resist self-sacrifice because we are starving ourselves. And we can't give out of that emptiness. When Jesus raises that area back to life, he fully satisfies your love tank with his love for you. And out of the overflow, you can give it to others. It's like a waterfall. Waterfalls have a source of water that they feed from. Then out of the abundance, the waterfall falls down and feeds another water source. The waterfall wouldn't exist without a previous water source feeding into it. And the other water source after the waterfall wouldn't flow without the waterfall. And that's the beautiful cycle of our world. Spiritually, they're the same way. You can't give an overflow of love through self-sacrifice without first receiving that satisfaction yourself. So again, I don't know where you might be on the spiritual spectrum. I don't know where you might identify on your beliefs. But I think we can all agree that this world is messed up, that the entropy is destroying our world, and that's an expression of death, and our mental health is suffering because of the parasite stuck within our soul. But the good news is, the satisfying thing is that if you're open to it, that parasite can leave your life once and for all, and you can tap into that power to raise every dead area in your life back to life through the death of Jesus. If that's something that you want to do, check out the link in the show notes. And I have a very short video that walks you through a step-by-step process of tapping into that resurrection life once and for all. Thanks again for listening to the Demons in My Mind podcast, where we take an unfiltered view at the issues of life. If you're wanting to learn more about spirituality or mental health, check out my Instagram at talkreal.co. Or check out my website at talkreal.co. I hope this causes you to think. And if you have any questions or anything, DM me on Instagram at talkreal.co.